Seattle is the fastest growing big city in the nation. But back during World War II, there was a Pacific Northwest town that grew a lot faster than that, Bremerton. One of the legacies of that period is a collection of tiny, affordable houses that still stand. But it's unclear what role those houses will play in Bremerton's future. For KUOW's Region of Boom team, Joshua McNichols has more.
Bremerton's building boom began after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor. The damaged boats were towed to Bremerton for repair. This little town of 15,000 people had to find room for 80,000 people.
Town residents made room in their basements and their attics and garages, and there were chicken coops being turned into apartments.
Chicken coops?
Yes. You know, there just wasn't enough housing to keep up with the demand.
That's Megan Churchwell, a curator at the Puget Sound Navy Museum. The chicken coop houses are gone, we assume, but the garages that were turned into houses still stand. Some people call them war boxes.
In just one short alley, you have at least five places, at least five, maybe six, that were livable. Little garages that were more than garages, and this one is even more than that, you see. It's built a little bit more sturdier than the rest.
Mark Lewis is a blind musician. He lives in a war box near the Navy base. It's just over 400 square feet, yet he managed to finish recording a full record album in this war box. At times it got pretty crowded.
I ran out, stamped out. I said, hold on, I gotta get out of here. This place is driving me nuts. I came back and I said, that's fine, I had my tantrum, now we'll have a good session. And we recorded bang, 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 bang. I mean, it's hot in here. It's so hot that I'm afraid that the cat will...
He never finished that sentence. But Mark Lewis has become a part of this place. His tables and chairs are speakers and drums.
So what I've done is I've taken the different rooms and made them into a functional recording studio, and I live around that.
There's no room for a bed, so Lewis sleeps on the floor.
It's hard to sleep sometimes when you know how much work you have to do, and you see all that stuff staring you in the face. Then you start working on it and into the night, and you should be sleeping, you know. And I'm an insomniac anyway, so then I could just walk next door into the next room, and there's and all different places to play saxophones and flutes and whatnot.
And because he doesn't have to pay much rent, he has time for hobbies.
Oh, you wanted to see something else?
Sometimes he repairs old synthesizers just for fun.
This ARP Odyssey used to be Herbie Hancock's, and he used this to make the Headhunters album. But I had it going a few months ago, and I haven't used it since. The capacitors are old, and I have to replace them, and I was getting them replaced, but... The master electrician that was going to replace it unfortunately passed away right in the middle of it. And it, yeah, I know. Let's try this. What I believe is important in my life is to concentrate and use the most amount of energy that I have on music, not making money so that I can live in a normal situation.
Mark Lewis can live that way because Bremerton went boom and then bust after the war was over. 82-year-old Edith Hambrick grew up in Bremerton during the war, and she saw the whole cycle. Her family came for the boom.
My dad worked in the Navy Yard. My mother did, too. She worked in the cafeteria at night.
At that time, some war boxes rented out to three men at a time who shared the same bed in 8-hour shifts. Then came the bust.
They started laying off in the yard, and if you couldn't find a job, you went wherever you could find one.
Suddenly, Bremerton had a housing surplus.
It seemed like everything overnight just completely changed. The whole town changed.
Buses stopped running as often.
Well, there just wasn't anything going on.
Hambrick left Bremerton for California in 1955. She returned to Bremerton half a century later and found a war box waiting for her. She lives there now with her dog Banjo, who does not like visitors.
Banjo!
A lot changed in the years she was gone. Many of the war boxes are in pretty bad shape these days. Bremerton architect Steve Rice worries we could lose them.
If they're not maintained better than they have been over the last 3 or 4 decades, you know, little wood buildings, they deteriorate.
Rice says the problem is growth has been slow in Bremerton, so it didn't make financial sense to renovate them because rising property values help people recoup the investments they make in their homes. But things are changing. For one thing, people are moving to Bremerton from Seattle. They're beginning to move from other parts of Kitsap County, too. They could help save the war boxes.
I can see a lot of people thinking that they're cute. I mean, there's a little house movement, right?
If that happens, they might not remain affordable, because it's neglect that helped keep rents and home prices cheap here. And not just with the war boxes. There are bigger houses and apartments, too, that need a whole lot more than a fresh coat of paint. Sometimes it's easier just to tear old houses down and start fresh. The brand new Spyglass Hill apartments in Bremerton wiped out three old bungalows. Victoria Luke works for the developer.
They were boarded up and abandoned for years.
The new apartments rent for twice what Mark Lewis pays for his war box. But they're much bigger, too. And these apartments come with amenities, an exercise room, and a rooftop deck.
So a couple people that we've leased to, we brought them up to the roof, and they literally started crying when they saw this view and realized that this is a place that they could actually afford to live and have this beautiful water view. Mount Rainier, the Cascade Mountains, the Olympic Mountains, the ferries coming and going.
Ferries that connect Bremerton with Seattle, a city whose growth continually drives people in search of undervalued places. In Bremerton, I'm Joshua McNichols, KUOW News.